Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You can't rely on blind faith to get the pregnancy support you deserve. Ritual's Essential Prenatal Multivitamin is the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Get 25% off when you visit ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to our third and final hour. It is hour number three live right here on this first day of a new week, a Monday on the early line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are going to talk some more Olympic basketball, just the Olympic Games in general, what you are looking forward to. The great thing about the Olympics, yes, men's basketball, women's basketball, great athletes, celebrities that we know, but it's a time during the Summer Olympics to focus on some other sports that maybe don't always garner national attention. We'll talk about what you are most excited for in just a moment. A 13-game Monday MLB slate, that's rather large to start off a new week. 13 of 15 potential games in Major League Baseball. Plenty of baseball breakdowns from the mind of Donnie Wrightside in this third and final hour. A lot to get to here before we say farewell. Me and the show overall at 11 a.m. Eastern time. Donnie Wrightside at around 10:52 a.m. Eastern as he gets ready for the revamped radio schedule in an earlier edition of the Moneyline.
Yes, how about that? By the way, Ben is in contract negotiations to take over the final hour of the early line Monday through Friday. That'll be interesting to see if he does get his way. But you know what?
Yeah.
Let me change the focus here real quick. I don't even need to be commissioner. Don't need to be commissioner today. The Hall of Fame in Major League Baseball elected members yesterday. Nobody cares. We didn't talk about it today in the 7-7. Do you know why?
You're right.
How could you do this on one of your most, you know, perfect days in Cooperstown, which if you've ever been to Cooperstown, which I have not been, it looks tremendous. Oh. It looks like you step back in time and you honor the history of Major League Baseball, which is awesome stuff. But how could you have these ceremonies on the middle of a Sunday when everybody plays afternoon baseball on a Sunday where nobody cares about these players going in? Like, you figure they would sort of factor it in, Ben, and say, you know what? One day a summer, we're not going to take the day off, but we're going to have Sunday night telecast of the Hall of Fame. We're going to play everybody in the day. Games will be over by 7 o'clock, and the complete focus of the Major League Baseball universe will be on the guys going into the Hall of Fame. But instead, you bury it on a Sunday where not a single person is watching that. I'm sorry. And quite frankly, if you ask today, Ben, casual viewers, yesterday the Hall of Fame put guys into there. How many were there and who were they? I don't know if people could actually name them today, Ben. That's a shame to do that to Hall of Fame players.
It's a good point, DRS. One day you will be the commissioner of Major League Baseball, or maybe the guy that heads up the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. Yep. I don't think Rob Manfred takes that mantle as well. But you, Donnie Wrightside, will have a very busy resume, including hosting an earlier edition of the Moneyline starting at 11 a.m. Eastern time. So as we go here on the early line, we love to hear from the people to start off our third and final hour. The opening ceremonies at the 2024 Summer Olympic Games in Paris come your way on Friday afternoon. Which Olympic sport are you most looking forward to? That was the question in Fade the Public. At Sports Grid on Twitter, as we look at what we have for today. I hit the wrong button. Now I messed up where Sports Grid is. Got it. Which Olympic sport are you most excited to watch? The options we gave you: basketball, gymnastics, track and field, other. And if you selected other, you must reply, wow, interesting results here. Nearly 43% going with track and field. We like that. Basketball coming in second. Gymnastics not all that far behind with more than 15% of the vote. 20.7 going with other. I selected swimming. I like swimming the most. Christian DeBlock doing great work for the Spiz Grizz Network, saying women's soccer. We got golf. We got water polo. We got Canadian basketball from Jay Threads. We've got more swimming in there. What was Donnie Wright's side selection?
I kept it simple in basketball. I think it'll be the easiest to track overall. And if you take a look at gymnastics and track and field and some of the other things, yes, we're all going to be interested per se, but I don't know if I'm going to have the time to, like, okay, when is the men's 100 final? When is the women's there? Because Sha'Carri Richardson, I'm sure we all want to see her run, see how fast she can go. Same thing with the men's. Gymnastics typically interesting as well, but for me, it's just the simplicity of it. I'm probably going to know basketball because number one is we're going to talk about the odds market on a day-to-day basis. I don't know, is there an odds market for like track and field? Like, do we have those up, like to win the gold medal in track, be like for the men or the women's side? I'm not even sure. I haven't gone down that far, but our producer says yes at this point. So maybe I will be a little bit more vested in there in track and field and gymnastics. But for me, just the simplicity of basketball. I'm going to enjoy it. It's probably going to be some good games there. And that's my primary focus here, Ben.
Yes, there will be odds for all that we see. Of course, we have talked a lot of men's basketball and women's basketball, but there is going to be odds. Wow, yeah, there's everything. Men's 100-meter gold medal backstroke. Ryan Murphy, the American, is the favorite at plus 170. Yeah, what about Katie Ledecky? One of the best to ever do it. As we look at where she might be, the 1,500-meter, which she dominates, minus 1,800 for Ledecky to win the gold meter in the women's 500-meter freestyle. There is so much to break down, and we will do that here as we get going. But the Olympic tab on the FanDuel Sportsbook, really, that's where it stands. State of the Union. Joe Friso on the pulse right there. I wonder if that was just a play on words or anything of a prerogative as of yesterday afternoon. But Team USA, their Paris Olympic odds, gold medal counter, 40.5. To have the most gold medals, minus 550. The most total medals at minus 2,000. Team USA across every sport expected to dominate over in Paris.
Yes, absolutely. And maybe Sha'Carri Richardson, as I talked about, does she drop out of the race for a gold medal? Team USA men's and women's basketball, maybe they drop out of the race here and not win a medal. Which could, by the way, what would be more surprising here for us? The Team USA men's team to not win a gold medal, or the actual United States not winning the most medals of this Olympics? Like, what would be more surprising to you?
I think it would probably be both of those answers.
We're usually pretty good in the Summer Olympics overall. Yeah.
We're really good in the Summer Olympics. We have to win the gold medal counter. We have to win the total medal counter. If it's Team USA in basketball, though, I would actually say more surprising would be us not winning the overall highest number of gold medals, because basketball at the international level now, and as Brian Fonseca shared, it's a tournament, right? More similar to March Madness, where large and historic upsets happen. And the gap between Team USA and the rest of the international field is not nearly as wide as it once was. So I think I'd be more surprised if Team USA did not win the most gold medals for all of the Paris Olympic Games, as the American men winning the gold medal in men's basketball. Noah Lyles, he's got the second best price to win the 100-meter in gold medal to claim the fastest man on planet Earth. Keyshawn Thompson of Jamaica, the favorite at plus 125. Sha'Carri Richardson, minus 170 to win the gold medal in track in the 100 meters in the women's event. Sha'Carri Richardson is absolutely fast. She is going to win that. I might bet it right now, Donnie.
Yeah, no, it's going to be good times here. And you're also going to see some people that you probably never heard of before really rise and shine to the occasion in these Olympics and make themselves household names and also millions of dollars with like Tide commercials and Crest commercials and all that good stuff coming down. So I'm pretty sure this week they're going to ramp up that ad space here. When I was growing up and in the 1990s, it was a track and field competition between Dan and Dan was the name. And they put a lot of money. I don't know if it was Reebok or who came up with it, but like months and months of commercials. And it turns out one of the Dans didn't even make the Olympics. Tough scene overall, man. Oof.
One of the Dans. Hope he's doing well, man.
Look
out for that Dan.
Yep, it was one of the biggest odds campaign or one of the biggest TV campaigns we've ever seen. And it came up in a flame of fireballs because one of the guys didn't make the Olympics. So they couldn't battle in the Olympics. It might've been like the triathlon guys, one of those guys there, but it was an interesting ad campaign that didn't work out in their favor. Maybe they're holding off till after the Olympics to see who actually wins the gold. Dan and Dave. There you go. Dan and Dave.
Listen, on a daily basis, we'll provide more deep breakdowns of Olympic action. More on the early line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It is a big day of baseball on this Monday around MLB. 13 games. Normally a full slate is 15 games. 15 games, two opponents playing in the game. That's all 30 Major League Baseball clubs. We don't often see 13 on a Monday, but we do today, including some day baseball, the only game in afternoon hours up in the Bronx in Yankee Stadium. It's the fourth and final game of this first weekend set following the MLB All-Star break between divisional foes. The Yankees hosting the Tampa Bay Rays. The Yanks and Gerrit Cole, great on Friday night, victorious 6-1 in the opener. The Rays have won the last two, including yesterday, holding on for a 6-4 win. The Yankees favored at a -164 price to split this four-game set, total at 8.5. Are we going to see Donnie Wrightside not only here on the early line, but ahead of this Yankees game on Yes Network later today? Donnie, if so, what's the play?
Yeah, filming early this morning, man, before the sun came up, getting ready. Because why? A Monday early start up in the Bronx. That's exactly what we need to get our juices flowing for new week, new money. If we take a look at the pitching matchups today, Ben, I got 24 pitchers on the card today with a minimum of 20 innings pitched over the past 60 days. Number 14 and number 15 on this card out of 24, that's Carlos Rodon and Zach Littell. You take a look at that Yankees lineup to start against right-handed pitching over the past month. First four guys have been really, really good. That's Rice, Soto, Judge, and Wells. The rest of that lineup outside of Trent Grisham, a lot to be desired. But if we're taking a look at some of the non-analytical numbers for Zach Littell over the past 30 days, they've been bad. ISO power numbers against through 86 batters are 162, right around the average number, but the weighted on base percentage is inflated up to a 342. The one thing you do like, he's a decent strikeout guy, doesn't walk too many guys. He's going to need that today. 86 degrees in the Bronx, 11 mile an hour wind blowing out to left field today. Flip it over to the other side and take a look at Carlos Rodon. Nothing has really gone right for him, Ben, since just about coming to the New York Yankees. You look at his last 30 days, 86 batters that he's faced, a 280 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 411. Not necessarily great. Their xFIP minus numbers are manageable, though. That's the 100 mark. Anything below that is good. Anything above that, sort of a little bit of a concern. If we look at both of these guys today, it's a 102 and a 105, so not that bad. But you have hitting conditions in the Bronx, afternoon game today. You're probably looking at more of an over than a side itself. I do think it's a toss-up. I don't think the Yankees should be that heavily favored today. I think both teams should put up some runs to get that over, and we'll see how it works out.
Let's go to an AL Central duel as well. Divisional foes face off in the land. The Guardians now second best mark in the American League after losing their opening weekend set following the break to the San Diego Padres. Baltimore has one more win, a half game advantage over the Guardians. And today, the Tigers a favorite on the road at -124. Let's start with Detroit. Victorious in 9 of its last 12 games. 4 consecutive series wins, a sweep over Cincy, a 4-game series win over these Guardians, a series victory over the Dodgers, and then they open up after the break taking 2 of 3 from the Blue Jays. Is this potentially the final or one of the final appearances for Tarek Skubal in a Tigers uniform. He is on the road today against the Guardians. We are 8 days away from the MLB trade deadline. His name has been floated. The Tigers now, again, winning 9 of their last 12, only 2 games below 500. What do you say, Donnie? Any extra motivation? One last dance in Detroit for Tarek Skubal on the road today in Cleveland?
It's kind of crazy. Like, if you're the Detroit Tigers, like, why is this guy's name even on the market at this point? One of the best young pitchers in baseball. So you figure if you're going through a rebuild, you can do that in 2 to 3 years, and he still should be able to be a dominant pitcher in Major League Baseball and something your fans can hold on to. Well, that's going to be a different point if he does get traded. Certainly, how many prospects are coming back to Detroit? Probably a ton. But if we're just looking at today's game overall, as I said, there's 24 pitchers on the card today. You know who's number one by a long shot? It's Tarek Skubal, a 68 xFIP minus an ERA of 2.95 over the past 60 days and an xFIP of 2.81. Damn near unhittable. Now, here's the interesting part. As you talk about Detroit, it typically used to be like maybe one or two batters were okay in that lineup and the rest were terrible. It's not the case anymore. You arguably have close to 6 batters at above average ISO power numbers over the past 30 days against right-handed pitching. That's what's pulling Detroit out because they're getting good pitching along with some solid hitting at times. So you take a look at Carlos Carrasco. Here's what's going to be interesting, Ben. Over the past 60 days, an ERA of 4.87, but an xFIP minus number of 90. You take a look at his xFIP number, a 3.68. Not that bad. So I take a look at that price because right now, I don't think we're firing on all cylinders at the plate for the Guardians. I like that lineup. The numbers are decent, but as of late, just haven't been working in our direction. I don't know how much offense we're going to get on the opposite side either at this point. So when we're looking at this 7.5, I think it might be best to go under the total today. 77 degrees is what they're going to be playing in Cleveland, but it wind blowing in slightly from right field. I think this game stays under the total because I think Carrasco can step up to the occasion and not get blown away over the first 5 innings.
Total has dropped to 7. Skubal right now, minus 130 to win the American League Cy Young Award. One of the things that might hold him back from that being traded to the NL. Again, Tigers fans should be very, very mad if they make that deal. I hope they do not. A total of 10 today at altitude in Coors, where the Red Sox are coming off a sweep this weekend in L.A., get their second consecutive National League West opponents. The Red Sox got swept. They did not sweep the Dodgers, of course. Minus 168 with Tanner Houck on the bump today. Can they rally today at Coors Field?
I think they can rally, but here's what I'm going to look at. Maybe they win this game because the better pitcher on the mound certainly is decided for them with Houck. But if we take a look at that total, which is bouncing between 10s and 10.5s, which means it's going to take 11 runs to beat you. What do we always like, Ben? You know, you give a nice little yawn there because most people stayed up for Sunday Night Baseball and watched it from their bedroom here on the East Coast. But on the West Coast, these guys were actually playing that game. So now you got to get on a plane. You got to get to Colorado. You're playing in elevation. You're a little bit cranky and tired. I think this game stays under. If you look at Austin Gomber, not a great pitcher. He's got a 107 xFIP minus, which isn't bad. Now, his ERA is high over the past 60 days, 6.24, because he pitches in Colorado. But he's not that far over that disaster area of like that 115, 120 xFIP minus price. And also, that Red Sox lineup that I love so much, past 30 days, Ben, against left-handed pitchers, Ref Snyder's been killing it. Romy Gonzalez has been decent. The rest of that lineup, which includes Rafael Devers, really struggling against lefties. I think Houck will be okay. Gomber will be solid. And this game stays under the 10 number. So I don't think we're getting to 11 runs here, Ben.
The good thing about Sunday Night Baseball, when it's played on the West Coast, it was a 4 p.m. local time start yesterday in L.A. More MLB breakdowns come your way next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Monday morning on the early line on Sports Grid. Looking forward to a 13-game slate around MLB on this Monday. Let's go to Atlanta. The Braves did not win their weekend. They dropped 2 of 3 against the St. Louis Cardinals after the All-Star break. The Reds struggling on either side of the break. It will be Hunter Green, an All-Star for Cincy, against the Atlanta Braves and Reynaldo Lopez, who, entering the All-Star break, met the innings requirement to have the best ERA in baseball, the only one sub-2 at 1.88. Still remains that ERA for Lopez, but misses out on the innings requirement and that minimum around Major League Baseball. Lopez has only gone more than 6 innings of work twice this year. He doesn't go long into games when he gets the start, but Atlanta still booked is a pretty hefty home favorite today, nearing $1.50 at -144. Total is 8. What do you like in the ATL?
Yeah, maybe you lean towards the dog price here to +132. Now, you think the better team is the Atlanta Braves? I actually do, but also the margin of victory now getting shorter and shorter and shorter when you take a look at the Atlanta Braves. Again, relying on Ronaldo Lopez, my guy to watch in the second half of this Major League Baseball season to see if he can uphold what he did in the first half, quite frankly, was remarkable. He's got a 93 xFIP minus over the past 60 days, a 220 ERA, and a 3.75 xFIP number, which is very good. But if we're looking 1 through 9 on both of these teams, the better team is probably the Cincinnati Reds at the plate. India, De La Cruz, Steer, Stevenson, all really high elevated ISO power numbers and weighted on base percentages against right-handed pitching. But if we flip it over and say, all right, Hunter Green is an average pitcher. Can he hang around with this lineup for the Braves? Maybe so, because now you're down Ozzie Albies on top of already you know, missing your MVP player, Ronald Acuna, for a few months. I don't know how much more this lineup can endure. If you're just going to rely on, hey, Austin Riley and Marcell Ozuna got to carry the weight of the entire ball club, good luck. How many runs can that equate to on a day-to-day basis? 79-degree temperatures down in Atlanta, 4-mile-an-hour winds blowing out. If I think Atlanta is better, but again, that razor-thin margin of victory, which is what they need, how many runs are they putting up today? Give me the short price here as a dog on Cincinnati to hang around. I think that lineup might be able to put up some runs today on Ronaldo Lopez. What I mean by runs, what do you need, Ben? 3 or 4 total for the game?
Yeah. All of a sudden, a pretty good game, by the way, in Pittsburgh at PNC Park. The Buccos did not pull off the sweep over Philadelphia yesterday. The Phils winning 6-0 in that finale. But Pittsburgh has been playing really well as of late. Victories in 7 of their last 9. The Pirates now above 500. It happening this weekend for the first time since April 24th. The St. Louis Cardinals are 21-13 in the last month plus as well. Pittsburgh a slight home favorite today, -126 against the Redbirds, total of 8.5. Donnie, a game that actually looks pretty good on paper and should be.
Yeah, and also you're looking at some of that playoff-type atmosphere feel for the Pirates and the Cardinals here. The Pirates actually came off, even though they lost yesterday, beat the Philadelphia Phillies, the best record in Major League Baseball, jump-starting the second half, and that didn't even include Paul Skenes. Skenes isn't going to pitch today, but due to be on the mound back tomorrow, fully rested. So if you think the Pittsburgh Pirates can win today, then pick up a victory, certainly, with Skenes, or at least be in it after 5 innings with Skenes on the mound, that's something to look forward to. If we're looking at both of these pitchers, Pallante comes here with a 95 xFIP minus over the past 60 days, which is pretty good, an ERA of 3.70. You take a look at Keller, a 100 xFIP minus and a 3.04 ERA. So if I look at that total of 8.5, look, I love overs and I love to take them. But if I'm being honest, that's a true pitcher's ballpark, 77 degrees today, light wind blowing in. I don't know if we get the 9 runs. I think both of these pitchers can manage those 2 lineups, and I'm looking for an under today.
As Donnie alluded to, 8.5 is that total. A ton of divisional duels on this Monday to start off a new week. We keep in the NL Central, and we go to Wrigley, a virtual pick'em. Milwaukee -110, the Cubbies and Javier Assad on the other side, -106. 8.5 the total today at Wrigley Field. I assume that means the winds are blowing in. What do you like in the opener here between the Cubbies and the Brew Crew?
Yeah, light wind blowing in, 76 degrees. That 4-mile-an-hour wind is blowing in from right field, so it shouldn't really make a difference in this one. However, if I'm looking at Milwaukee, not in love with that lineup per se, but really the bottom has fallen out. Javier Assad, one of the better pitchers in baseball early on in this Major League Baseball season. Now over the past 60 days, just taking those averages, and it's been worse as late. Worse as of late, I should say. A 111 xFIP minus number, a 5.85 ERA. So I think he can get touched up today. I'm just going pedigree on this. I think the pitchers might be a toss-up. I'll take the Milwaukee Brewers as the better overall team, and I think Assad could get hit around today from the Brew Crew.
The Brewers just a short 2-game set this weekend in Minnesota. They won both. They have a 5-game advantage over St. Louis for the top spot in the National League Central. The prop perspective with Tom Vecchio on this Monday next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Monday, we give you the prop perspective now ahead of a new week in Major League Baseball. The home run prop king is here. That is Tom Vecchio. Vecchio, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you for joining us bright and early on this Monday morning.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, we have a full week of baseball. Get started early today at 1 o'clock. We are in the, I want to say, the stretch run of the MLB season. Before we know it, we'll be talking football. I'm ready to go.
The jack of all trades is always the jack of all trades. Yesterday in Seattle, the Mariners take the finale of their opening weekend set after the break against divisional foe, the Houston Astros, 6-4. Sweepless in Seattle. That was my headline, Tom Vecchio, on the fly, live right here on this Monday morning. Please give me credit. Despite Yordan Alvarez hitting for the cycle yesterday for the Astros, Houston unable to complete the sweep over Seattle. So after this opening weekend, Houston wins it. They take 2 of 3 from the M's. We have a tie at the top of the American League West. Houston and Seattle. Who do you give the edge down this home stretch?
You know, ultimately, it's got to be Houston. They just have too much pedigree. I want to say they're also on the track to getting healthier. Kyle Tucker should be back. Verlander should be back. And ultimately, I expect them to be more aggressive when it comes to the trade deadline. You know, we know what they've been dealing with all season in terms of injuries when it comes to the pitching, but like they are still in a win now mode and they have the assets to potentially make a move, make, I would say, a splash, really at pitching. That's what they need help with. Their hitting will be fine. It's really been fine for the most part of the season. Ultimately, the value's probably gone when it comes to winning the division. I think you can maybe go to an AL future for the Astros, where I think is at plus 600, plus 650, somewhere around there. So that's probably the best spot to go, because I just think they'll be more aggressive when it comes to the trade deadline.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what the Astros do, and I'm just already astounded here, yeah. Tom, that we take a look at the Astros, already closed the gap on the Mariners and probably going to lap them. We'll see and find out. But let's take a look here for the New York Yankees, who we were going to think might have been lapping the field in the AL East. Not the case anymore, and maybe a little resurgence here for the Tampa Bay Rays. Today, 105 start, Littell versus Rodon, 8.5 total favorite here for the Yankees at a minus 164 price. And if Tampa Bay wins today, they'll take 3 out of 4 from the Yanks. What are we thinking today in the Bronx?
I don't know who wins this game, but I'm certainly expecting a good amount of offense. Rodon versus Littell, like both pitchers are super average. You know, Rodon started off the year super hot. He's come crashing back down to earth. You know, it's hot there, a little bit of wind, which is good. Littell's allowing a 444 slugging or higher to both lefties and righties, a 45 and 38% fly ball rate. So let's start with over 8.5 runs for Yanks and Rays today. I don't know who wins. I think the Yanks money line is a bit too much for me. I would certainly side with the Rays, but ultimately over is the best spot to go.
Yeah, the Yankees, a hefty home favorite, the only day baseball game of our 13 on this Monday in MLB. If the Yankees win, they split the 4-game set against Tampa. The Rays looking to take the final 3 for an opening weekend and then some victory after the All-Star break. The Red Sox were just swept in Los Angeles by the Dodgers, including a 9-6 clubbing last night on Sunday Night Baseball. Can they get back on track with a midweek set out in the Rockies at Mile High against Colorado? It is a total of 10. That is a Coors Field number. Tanner Houck, the ace for Boston, on the bump. Will the Red Sox rally with a victory today at Coors?
I think they do. I want to say they played pretty well, especially over the first 2 games against the Dodgers. Like, you know, late game heroics from Freddie Freeman in that opening game on Friday night was the grand slam hit, whatever it was. Like, they played pretty well, and they've actually been trending upward for most portions of the season. But ultimately, my favorite spot for this game would be Austin Gomber under 4.5 strikeouts at sitting at minus 130. He's just not a big time strikeout pitcher. That is a 16.1% strikeout rate this season. Yeah, the Sox strike out a good amount versus lefties this year, but since the beginning of June, Gomber has 8 starts under his belt. He's been over this mark just once. So works. You know, if you were to want the over, he would have to buck the trend that he has been, you know, crashing the under on essentially every single time out there. So I expect the Red Sox to win. I don't like their money line, but the win plus Gomber under is probably the best spots to be going.
Certainly looking to bounce back there, no question about it. They're getting swept out in Los Angeles. 8:05 start tonight, 9:07, 9:08 on the rotation. Milwaukee and Chicago, Myers versus Assad. Total in this game listed at 8.5. Slight wind blowing in, but a favorite here, if you want to call it, at the FanDuel Sportsbook right now, a minus 110 price on the Brewers. Assad, very good to start the season, leaking a little oil. What can we find out today, Tom?
Yeah, for Assad, you guys talked about him briefly in the previous segment. Like, he's a fine pitcher. He doesn't give up a ton of hard contact or a tremendous amount of fly balls, but he's getting hit around a lot. A 446 slugging, a 356 wOBA, and a 307 BABIP to righties. So we might not see a ton of home runs, but he's just going to get hit left and right, single, double, whatever it might be. So I want to go to Willie Adames for 2+ total bases on the Brewers. He's actually a reverse splits hitter. He's a righty, and he's better against right-handed pitchers, coming with a 121 WRC+, 342 wOBA, and 305 BABIP. So we just keep it super simple for, I'm going to say, arguably their second, maybe third best hitter. Obviously, Contreras is having a great year. Yelich is up there. But Adames for 2+ total bases at +125 today.
A great look at what we will see on this Monday around Major League Baseball. But now, Jack of all trades, we take your knowledge from the diamond back to the basketball floor ahead of the Paris Olympic Games. It's not the NBA. It's different. It's international basketball in the Summer Games for a gold medal. Don't know if you were watching any of the exhibition match on Saturday against South Sudan. The Americans escaped with a 101-100 victory. It was not necessarily a picture-perfect display as they get ready for the Paris Olympic Games. One final exhibition game today. That's in London against Germany. Team USA a 14.5 point favorite. Team USA still remains a hefty favorite to win yet another gold medal at -400. Vecchio, let's start with this question first and foremost. Are you going to be betting on Olympic basketball? And if so, what's the handicap you take?
I will be betting, and I actually spoke to Kevin about this over the past couple of weeks. I think there's going to be opportunities to fade Team USA against the spread. Simply just take the opposing team, because I think their lines are just going to be inflated. Everyone, you know, wants essentially something else to bet besides baseball or golf on a weekly basis. They want something else, so these lines are inflated. That's kind of what we saw with South Sudan. If you're willing just to take the points with the underdog, some of the inconsistencies we've seen from Team USA, not just this year, but over the past however many times they've played in FIBA. Yes, it's not the same roster, but they generally start a little bit slow. So I'm confident that they win the gold. I actually want to see them win. But I think taking the points with the underdog is probably the safest route to go. And it does leave you some ability to hedge in-game if we see a team get out to a big lead, which we saw at South Sudan. They were by 16 at halftime, I think it was, the other night. You can hedge out, cash out there, and you're still rolling with Team USA to potentially come with a smaller victory, as we saw.
Tom, we take a look every morning at what the public is going to give us feedback on. Today we asked, which Olympic sport are you most excited to watch? The options were basketball, gymnastics, track and field, and other. Do you get excited for a certain sport here in the Summer Olympics?
I do. You know, I ran track when I was younger, so I always liked the 100 meter or the 4x1. So I'm always on board with that. I'll also be looking to the rugby sevens. That's always super fun. You know, Fiji, New Zealand with the All Blacks versus Australia, maybe Ireland or France. Those are both good teams. So the rugby sevens are also awesome to watch.
You ran track back in the day. What are we liking when it comes to the 100 meter? Noah Lyles, second best price. Sha'Carri Richardson, the favorite at -170 to win the 100 meter in women's track. What are we thinking, Vecchio?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a Team USA sweep this year, both 4x1s and both 100 meter dashes.
Wow.
That's what we love
speed,
to see.
Speed,
DRS, yeah. You in your prime, Vecchio in his prime. 100 meter dash, who gets the job done?
You know what? That would be a good one. But by the way, 2 years ago, getting my daughter ready for cross country running sprints with her, it took me 3 or 4 till my hamstrings gave out. So that's me in my mid-40s at this point. I don't even remember. Was I fast or not? It was that far long ago. Goodness.
Becky, what do you say? You beat Donnie right side by a nose?
Probably. But I was also also in long jump. So that was also one of my favorites. So running and jumping is the route that I would go.
We got to get video.
I like
we gotta
that.
We got to get some video. Yeah, we do.
We got to get some video of that, Vecchio. Yeah. Listen, the jack of all trades is the jack of all trades for a reason. That includes Olympic events during the Paris Olympic Games, with the opening ceremonies starting on Friday. Vecchio, as always, we appreciate the time here on this Monday on TEL. More baseball breakdowns next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Plenty more Major League Baseball breakdowns come your way for the next, call it, 7.5 minutes or so, and then we bid adieu to our friend Donnie Wrightside Radio. That is important. The updated money line, the new schedule, the money line starts at 11 a.m. Eastern time. You know what's important? Winning some baseball games. What happened to the Phils out of the break? They dropped the first two in Pittsburgh against the Buccos, but did avoid the sweep with a 6-0 victory yesterday. That in a time of turmoil in this country, we look to Nick Castellanos, who did hit a solo shot with two outs in the top of the ninth. Ranger Suarez gets the start today for the Phillies on the road in Minneapolis. Minus 116, the Phils a very slight road favorite. Total of 8. Only 2 games for the Twins after the break. Hosting Milwaukee this weekend. They lost both. What happens here on this Monday to start off a new week?
Yeah, that's going to be the biggest question mark is which actual Ranger Suarez are we getting? The guy over the first like 10 or 12 starts of the season that might have been up for a Cy Young award, or the guy that we've been seeing lately who's struggling to get guys out? Take a look at Ranger Suarez over the past 30 days, a 102 batters faced, been a 181 ISO power number, which is elevated, and a weighted on base percentage of 378. That's going to do you in there. And by the way, a 361 weighted on base percentage over the past 90 at-bats to right-handed batters. Now, here's what the question's going to be. You're looking at the lineup today, Ben, including switch hitters for the Minnesota Twins. Every single one of them will be a right-handed batter. So that could be some damage today. And also, you take a look at guys outside of Diego Castillo, who has 2 at-bats against lefties over the past month for a 0 ISO and a 0 weighted on base percentage. Every other player in that lineup elevated weighted on base percentage numbers. You flip it over to the Phillies, they'll be fine at the plate. They got a lot of great guys who have done well over the past 30 days against right-handed pitching. Turner, Harper, Bohm, Castellanos, Marsh, and Rojas, they should be okay. Then you have the power stroke in that first spot there with Kyle Schwarber. However, Ober's been a decent pitcher over the past 30 days and been a decent pitcher this season. Winds blowing out at 7 miles an hour, close to 80 degrees. So I take a look at that graphic there and say to myself, do I think the Phillies can win? I do, but I don't really trust Ranger Suarez right now. But I just told you, there's a lot of guys in both of these lineups with good weighted on base percentages here on maybe one of the better hitting days in Minnesota you'll find, roughly 80 degrees with the wind blowing out. Why not an over in this spot here? Hey, look, if Ranger Suarez goes back to his first part of the season, it's a dead under. But if we get 4 innings pitched and 4 earned runs at a Ranger, which feels like is what he's been doing, why not go over here?
DRS, when you look at Ranger Suarez, 19 starts made this MLB season. In the first 16, he had a 10-2 record with a 1.83 ERA. He had given up just 20 earned runs in total in his first 16 outings of the year. He has given up 15 earned in his last 3 starts, nearly as many earned runs given up in his last 3 as the entirety of his season prior, and he has dropped, of course, 2 of those 3. He got off to a 9-0 start with a 1.36 ERA near the end of May, so it is fair to question what version of Ranger Suarez you are going to see, and it's part of the handicap, I guess, for Philadelphia the remainder of this season. Again, the Phils a very slight road favorite in the Twin Cities. A good matchup this week at Kauffman in Kansas City between the Royals and the D-backs. Arizona has won 9 of its last 12. They keep winning series against some of the best, as we have seen. KC sweeping the worst team in baseball to open up after the All-Star break, that being the White Sox. Minus 156 in favor of KC with the All-Star Cole Reagans on the bump. Is it going to be as easy as a win for the Royals as the odds makers anticipate?
Yeah, by the way, a couple of Royals played in that All-Star game, so it's no longer to say, like, I don't know who Cole Reagans is, now an All-Star performer, because he's been really good this year, and even over the past 60 days, I already told you how good Tarek Skubal has been with that xFIP minus of 68. He's right behind him, number 2 overall on the card today with a 74 xFIP minus, and how about this? An ERA of 2.67 over the past 60 days, and an xFIP number just over 3 at 3.05. He should be able to handle his business today, and also, do you just say every single game, I don't care who is on the mound against the Kansas City Royals, just give me Bobby Witt home run, RBI props, over his, you know, batting numbers of 1.5 total bases and all that good stuff here. He has been electric this season. I'll go with the home team here. It is a heavy price for a Kansas City Royals team, but you're getting the much better pitcher on the mound today at home. I'll go the Royals direction here.
The D-backs playing really good baseball, by the way. Again, winners of 12 of their last 18. They have not lost a series in their last six sets, looking like the reigning National League pennant winners. But, of course, everybody in the National League West looking up at the Dodgers in opening weekend after the break sweep over the Boston Red Sox. Minus 126 at home today against the San Francisco Giants. A favorite against Blake Snell and the Giants. I'll be completely honest. I don't even know who the starting pitcher is today for Los Angeles. Do you, DRS?
It says Ryan, which, again, you're just putting the Dodgers as a favorite here posted because they're at home and how electric their 1-9 can be. But let's also remind ourselves, Blake Snell to open the season, not very good. Goes on the IL. He's been good since coming back here. So if you're going to give me Snell against a guy we don't know much about at this point, I'm going to go with Blake Snell at the plus money price here. I don't care if the Dodgers have won three straight games out of the break and are still at home today. I'll take the short price here on the San Francisco Giants.
All right, River Ryan is his name. He gets the start today. Should be his Major League Baseball debut. The number four
River
prospect
in, the ravine.
In LA's River. Ooh, see, now I was willing to take Blake Snell with some plus money.
Now
I think it's got to be River Ryan at the ravine. That's a good point. The Dodgers, by the way, eyeing both River Ryan and potentially Clayton Kershaw to make a return in this series against their bitter rivals from Northern California in San Francisco. Let's finish up here, DRS, very quickly with the fourth and final game from the opening weekend, and then some, the Mets and the Marlins. Miami has taken two of the first three. The Mets, a minus 148 favorite today in South Florida to split this four-game set.
Not a lot of bad pitchers on the card today, but you're technically getting two of them here in South Florida. Now, Peterson is a little bit better, but Yoni Chirinos, that's a guy that you want in your teams to fade, I should say. You take a look at the ISO power numbers, 241. Weighted on base percentage, 411 for his last 94 batters against a pretty solid Mets lineup. If we get analytical, a 128 xFIP minus, which includes a 5.76 ERA over the past 60 days, the Mets should hammer away in South Beach today.
DRS, we bid you farewell. Thank you, my friend. Good luck on the updated The Money Line. It starts at 11 a.m. Eastern time on Sports Grid Radio. Hey, see you tomorrow. A football focus for me up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I'm lonely. I'm all by myself here to wrap up these final 5 or 6 minutes on Sports Grid on this Monday edition of the Early Line. We have had some fun and put it in jest for you here to start off this new week, but this new week does begin a change to our radio format and some things that you will see on the TV airwaves wherever you get your favorite destination to consume everything around the Spiz Grizz. So Donnie and Kevin earlier on the Money Line, starting at 11 a.m. Eastern time on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 159. Scott Kaplan and crew, now a member of the Sports Grid Network. We welcome them and say thanks for being here. They start their first show 10 a.m. Pacific time. I'm pretty sure they're in San Diego. 1 p.m. Eastern time on the Sports Grid airwaves, both Sirius XM Channel 159 and on the television network. So at least for the time being, these final 5 minutes to round out every day on a daily basis here on the Early Line, just your boy, B-double-S, Ben Stevens, by myself. And as we near football season, near the end of July, it will be a football focus, whether that's my favorite sport and my true passion, college football, or updates around the National Football League. We said it earlier, by Wednesday afternoon, this upcoming Wednesday, 2 days from now, all 32 NFL teams will have reported to training camp. More sent their vets this weekend, including yesterday, the Green Bay Packers. But what has been the biggest offseason question for Green Bay? That is Jordan Love and his contract perspective. Brian Gutekunst, the general manager of Green Bay, telling reporters today, says he's optimistic about a deal getting done for QB Jordan Love and that one could get done in the next couple days. But with Green Bay showing up to training camp yesterday, until it does, Love will not practice. That's what his representation told the Green Bay Brass. We'll have plenty more. When it comes to Jordan Love, the contract figures perhaps for him, Tua Tagovailoa, and Dak Prescott, all guys about to enter the final year of their current contract, more than likely up for a big contract extension. Now let's take a look at college football. Media Days continues this week in CFB. It's been talking season for the past two, and now we get the Big Ten at the podium this week in Indianapolis. The Big Ten preseason poll released earlier this morning. We'll have some thoughts on that tomorrow. And, of course, we have ACC Media Days this week as well. Last week, Media Days is really a media week for the SEC. 4 days in Dallas, Texas, Monday through Thursday. Here are the odds for the SEC, the realigned league, the expanded conference entering 2024. It is a fascinating collection of teams with the addition of Oklahoma and Texas. But Georgia remains the favorite at plus 185. I'll talk about the Bulldogs to make a point in our final minute. Texas, the newcomers, enters with the second best price to win the SEC at plus 350. Alabama, 7-1. Ole Miss, plus 750. And LSU rounds out the top five at a 10-1 number. Let's start with the change. Steve Sarkisian and the Longhorns winning the Big 12 a season ago in their final year in that conference. Second best price to win the SEC. Lofty expectations for Texas in its first year in a conference where it just means more. It has not been the case the last 17 seasons to see the Crimson Tide enter any year in the SEC with not being the favorite or maybe even the second best number, ever so slightly behind Georgia. They've got the third best price. Nick Saban no longer at command in Tuscaloosa. It's Kalen DeBoer. Ole Miss actually has a better win total, 9.5 in the over having the juice, than that of Alabama. 9.5 on the Tide, and the under has the juice. Let's talk Georgia in this final minute. The Bulldogs, the favorites to win the SEC at plus 185. UGA, the favorites to win a national championship this year, about a dollar in front of Ohio State. Last year, you saw it here on the Sports Grid Network, were so upset about Florida State, the unbeaten ACC champion, getting left out of the college football playoff. We didn't really dive into the discussion about Georgia, who last year by 3 points in the SEC title game to Alabama, lost that championship game. It was the first defeat for the Bulldogs in their last 30 games. In fact, in the last three seasons, Georgia has a 44-2 record with both defeats at the hands of the Crimson Tide in the SEC championship and two national titles to boot in that time. Georgia is going to make the college football playoff and look for its third title in the last 4 years. We'll talk to you tomorrow, live on the Early Line at 8 a.m. Eastern Time. Talk to you then.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You can't rely on blind faith to get the pregnancy support you deserve. Ritual's Essential Prenatal Multivitamin is the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Get 25% off when you visit ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by outsourcing around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. So when you buy from American Giant, you're taking a stand for hardworking people, local communities, and quality clothes. American Giant directly supports American manufacturers and ensures you aren't footing that tariff bill. Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.